Hello.
Hi.
I'm Paige Glazier, and here today I'm interviewing my friend, Sue Harris. Sue, what brings you here today?
I'm very interested in telling my story about how I came to live in Orange County and about my lifelong love of all that is California culture.
Awesome. And if you don't mind me asking, how old are you?
I'm 60 years young this year. I turned 60, so.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's a great achievement. So, you mentioned that you have always been obsessed with California culture.
That's very true.
Growing up as a little girl in, where did you grow up?
In Michigan.
What city?
I grew up in a very small town called Frankenmuth, Michigan, and that's where I first heard the Beach Boys on the radio.
Oh.
And I have distinct memories of being 5 years old and wishing I could be a California girl because they got to be in the sun and they got to be tan.
Kind of hard to tan in Michigan.
For many months it is. You're right. And then we moved to St. Joseph, Michigan, and I'm showing you what it looks like because people from Michigan always show their hand. So we moved across the state to the West Coast, which, interestingly enough, is called the Michigan Riviera. And it's in southwestern Michigan, much like where I live in Laguna Niguel, where we live is the Riviera of California.
Okay.
So there's a
nice connection there.
Yes.
Always westward bound.
Yes.
So how old were you when you first visited California?
Oh, well, that is something I actually would like to read, if I may, in that it's a literal story.
Okay, awesome.
And I wrote it in the memoir that I wrote this year, which originally was only going to be from 1959 to 1969. But then I realized that would leave out the whole story of when I first got to come to California as a teenager, finally.
Okay, I'd love to hear it.
Okay. I was in junior high, as we called it. We didn't call it middle school. And I simply wrote, the one event which would change my life forever was in February 1973, when I was almost 14. My dad had a school administrators convention to attend in California. And with both of my big sisters off at Western Michigan University, he took my mom, my brother, and me with him for a 7-day vacation. And we landed in San Francisco, and we were met at the airport by beautiful, beautiful monks in orange robes passing out flowers and chanting. They were the Hare Krishnas.
Uh-huh.
And I knew I had found my people.
Yes.
Because I felt I had a hippie sensibility.
Well, and that's kind of how we met, are through our hippie connections.
It's
through
true.
Yoga.
It's true.
And so you knew that when you were 13 years old.
Yeah. And what happened was we flew out of, I'm going back to my story. We flew out of gray, frigid Detroit, or possibly Chicago, but I don't remember, on an amazing and glamorous double-decker Boeing 747, nonstop to the exciting city of San Francisco. And then I write, California in the early 1970s was an exotic, sweet, and unique sort of balm to me. The temperature was mild when our plane landed. Then I talked about the Hare Krishnas. We rode in a taxi cab and we got on the cable cars. And everything about San Francisco at that time seemed extra shiny and clear, sunny, exciting. So I'm describing San Francisco, but since we're in Orange County, I want to skip ahead.
Okay, you can skip ahead.
So I'm going to skip ahead in my story to the Southern California part, because as beautiful as Northern California is, and I love it to this day, there was something in my soul which resonated with the weather in Southern California.
It's much different. And there's that Mark Twain saying, the coldest summer I ever spent was, the coldest winter I ever spent was a summer in San Francisco. So it
can be very damp.
Yes. Northern California and Southern California are very different. So did you visit Southern California on the same trip?
Yes. What we did was we rented a car. And after 3 days, beautiful, wonderful days in San Francisco, going to Haight-Ashbury and Cost Plus, which was just awesome, and buying some hippie clothes and hippie earrings, I thought, why don't we live here? Yeah. Well, then we went to Santa Cruz, and I thought, why don't we live here? Mm-hmm. This place is rad. And then we made our way down the coast, and we spent the night. Actually, I think I have to kind of go back in my story, because the ultimate story, the decision was made in Santa Barbara.
Okay.
And I think we can all agree Santa Barbara is lovely. Mm-hmm. And what happened was, in the early 70s, Santa Barbara was very green, fragrant, and super dreamy. There was an outdoor swimming pool, and steam was coming off of the pool because the pool temperature was warmer. It was a little bit chilly. I was on the diving board, and that one experience watching the steam was the defining moment when I made my decision to move to California. Then we hadn't even made our way to Orange County yet, but I knew this place truly resonated with my soul, as I may repeat three times. I would move here someday. This is where I felt at home. We left Santa Barbara the next morning to head south to spend the night in Hollywood.
Ooh. I love that visual you give of the steam coming off the pool, because that just, it represents your steaming desire and love for California. It's perfect.
Ooh, that's very good. Steaming desire. Woo! And I do love Los Angeles. I am one of those people, I will go to my grave thinking it's the greatest city ever. And I've done a fair bit of traveling. I've been to New York City. I've been to many cities in Europe. But as far as the United States goes, Los Angeles will always be my favorite large city. Mm-hmm. There's just something about it.
Yeah, can't beat it.
I love the Los Angeles County Museum of Art. I love the wonderful music venues like the Hollywood Bowl, the Baked Potato, and yet, on that trip, I was really looking forward to Disneyland. And it's the first time I ever went to Disneyland, and I was almost 14. So it's very special. So should I go to the Disneyland part?
Yeah, I'm very curious about your first Disney trip, because that's very monumental in children's lives, especially if you're not from Orange County. You know, I grew up with it, so. Yes. I was going to Disneyland as a small child, and, you know, as I got older to high school and things, I'd go every once in a while, but it wasn't as special as when you get to go for your very first time.
The very first time. It's kind of like your first kiss.
Totally.
And your first love. There's just something about that.
Yes.
And, okay, so I'm going to read from here, and I think I better stick to my script because I do have a tendency to have spaghetti brain.
That's okay. I'm here for your spaghetti brain.
Disneyland in Orange County. We arrived at our final destination on our grand early 1970s California adventure. Orange County then was aptly named. Everywhere you looked were orange trees. I mean everywhere. The potent smell of oranges was incredible. I couldn't get over how this place had everything. Mountains, beaches, and very warm, but not too warm, weather. I had never seen so many palm trees in person before, only on television. there was a fast food place called Hardee's. And my brother and I were allowed to get French fries and milkshakes, which for us was a rare treat. The song on the radio we heard said to hurry on down to Hardee's, where the burgers are charcoal broiled. There's something deep inside of me nearly 40 years after this trip that still loves the smell of French fries and charcoal burning, as well as that chlorine, swimming pool, orange blossom smog smell, which is oddly unique to where I now am blessed to live in Orange County. I have to pause for a second.
Yes.
My mom and I went shopping at a boutique women's clothing store together where I bought some stylish bell-bottom jeans.
Ooh. Hey, those are back in.
Yes, they are. The stereo was playing one of my favorite songs in its 6-minute entirety called Whitebird by the band It's a Beautiful Day. It is a beautiful song and very calming. Not to sound too cheesy or teenage angsty, but the reason this specific song and its lyrics always resonated with me is that I felt I was confined to a cold, dark winter place. The idea of flying off to a warm, sunny place was my biggest dream. Oh, it's much better when I hold the paper up. It represented freedom. And then that's the kind of the nail, you know, the final. As a young teen, I could hardly wait to see life-size Mickey Mouse, the Haunted Mansion, and ride the famous Matterhorn roller coaster.
Still my favorite to this day.
Right?
Still great.
It's just so cool.
Yeah.
It was all I had hoped it would be and more. I was allowed to eat the ice cream and other junk food they served at Disneyland. My brother chose to forego the Disney experience and instead rode dirt bikes all day long at a place nearby called Saddleback Park. This is a fun historical fact. My research shows that Saddleback Park was a 700-acre wonderland for off-road motorcycles. Yeah.
Wow.
And was the first park in the United States created specifically for motocross. It was located off Santiago Canyon Road near Irvine. Sadly, the park was closed in the early 1980s due to lawsuits. Mm. After my dad dropped my mom and me off at Disneyland, he drove himself about 30 miles up to Santa Anita Racetrack. Back then, there was not as much traffic as to say the least. So it was easy to do all of these things in one day. My parents and I finished the day at Disneyland. Remind me to tell you a funny story about It's a Small World. And then picked up my brother and had a lovely time swimming in the pool back at our hotel, which was nice, new, and located out in a big field surrounded by orange groves. I just couldn't get over how sunny, warm, and wonderful it all was. I wish we could have stayed another week in Orange County. All too soon, we had to drive up to LAX the next day to catch our 747 back to Michigan. Should I tell you about my dad?
Yes, I'd love to hear about your dad.
Okay, so at the time, my dad had kind of a cheesy goatee.
Okay.
And he always wore black caps and like a black raincoat, and okay. He had just come from the track, and he met us at Disneyland, and my mom and I were getting ready to go to It's a Small World, and kind of at the last second, he decided to hop in line, and they made him ride in his own boat,
because
they wouldn't put any kids
on the boat. Oh, no. So he looked kind of creepy. Oh. Not even with you and your mom?
Well, for some reason, they're like, I think the way the line was, she and I may have been like, and he quite possibly could have been carrying a newspaper. So he looked like a creep.
Yeah. That is hilarious.
Yeah. So
when was the last time most recently you went to Disneyland?
Okay, so this is funny. I'm a retired school teacher, and I taught small children for a long time, 31 years. I used to work at, this is sort of a long story, but I'll try and make it short.
We have time.
I used to work at a preschool summer camp, and my job was to take kids on field trips, and on a trip to Disneyland, one of the little girls got lost, and it was very stressful, and that probably was my last time.
Oh my gosh.
Because at this point in my life, at age 60, having been retired for 5 years, I find that I have PTSD when I get around small kids, so yeah. I don't really like too many little kids. So
that makes sense.
I don't know. I was probably in my 20s.
Okay.
Because obviously I moved here, so.
Right.
But even I have two children. I have two sons. Noah is 23 and Ben is almost 21.
Oh, wow.
My husband only would take them.
Yeah, I was going to ask, did they ever go with you? You
never went. I never took my own children.
Yeah, I mean, that'll scar you.
Because it was like, I'm working with little kids all day. The last thing I want to do when I have a day off work, you know, working 5 days a week, is go be around a bunch of little kids. So I'm sure if I went, like, with you, we would have a blast. So.
Well, and I heard in the new park, they now allow adult beverages. So that may make it different for other adults.
Are you saying
maybe people more tolerable for some adults?
I'm going to go on the Matterhorn. Yeah.
That could also be a nightmare.
You're my best friend.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I think that I actually came up with something I think is quite telling.
I'd love to hear it.
And it was the perspective of not being a native Californian. And I see it with my offspring in that they just don't know how good they have it.
Right.
Because this is all they've known is South Orange County, which is quite lovely.
Yes.
And frequent visits to Los Angeles, of course, but my son now lives in San Jose, where he's attending San Jose State, and he's seeing shopping carts and litter and terrible conditions, and it's quite different because San Jose is a big kind of dirty city. It's also got many wonderful, wonderful things. It's just very different.
Yes.
So I'm not dissing Disneyland. I'm not dissing San Jose. I'm just presenting an opinion here.
It's a different world. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think your story about growing up and having this, as a five-year-old, hearing the Beach Boys and having this glamorous dream of coming to California, if you grow up here,
I get goosebumps.
You don't realize that this is other people's dream life.
Right?
Yeah, and it's pretty amazing that native people like your children grow up with this and you don't realize how beautiful it is.
And interestingly, my son, Noah, is looking ahead to when he graduates from college this year, and he would like to go live in Edinburgh, Scotland for a year and work there because he went there over Christmas and fell in love with it.
Oh,
so it's whatever your heart tells you, whatever your soul, whatever speaks.
Yeah.
So kind of the opposite of his mom, who grew up in a very cold place and chose to move. Oh, I can say douchebag. Okay.
Yeah.
He often will say, I can't wait to get away from all of these, quote, Orange County douchebags. And I kind of understand. I mean, no matter where you go, you're going to have certain people who annoy you. And I find them to be people who drive too fast and tailgate. And it's happening more and more.
Yes.
And also, it's quite remarkable. Oh, this is my song list of I'll go back to that. But okay. Since we're talking about Orange County douchebags, when I came here in the early 70s, Irvine population was around 10,000.
Wow.
It's like 250,000. Mm-hmm. So the traffic.
Yes.
And then Dana Point, where I ended up moving in 1983, sight unseen, with $200 cash in my pocket. Laguna Niguel, when I first moved here, had around 12,000 mm-hmm. cows all over.
Oh, my gosh. And
now it's about 65,000.
Yeah.
So it's just quite different.
But I'm very curious about you coming to Dana Point with $200 cash in your pocket. What was your day-to-day life like when you first came to Orange County?
I had three jobs.
Okay, doing?
I was 23 years old, turning 24 in April. I moved here in January 1983 with a college, 6 days after I graduated from Eastern Michigan University with a degree in art education.
Okay.
My goal was move to California and go to Hollywood and paint and mm-hmm. be an actress and be a teacher and do everything, do all the things and go to the beach and all that kind of stuff.
So, California dream.
So I arrived with two college girlfriends and we had a free place to stay at one of the girlfriends' homes or her sister's town home, but it was rather uncomfortable because there were too many of us. We were, mm-hmm. So I found, oh my gosh, wait. This is, okay, hold on to your hats,
okay,
listeners, because I think since you asked, I will
have pictures. Do you have a part of it in your memoir?
I have. Okay.
Awesome.
All right. So I had a friend named Patty in college, kind of an acquaintance. Patty had a sister. This was 1982, senior year in college. Okay. Patty had a sister who lived in a town called Dana Point. And she told me we could stay with her sister while searching for our teaching jobs. She and I were in teaching school. I tried to find this Dana Point in my Rand McNally Atlas, copyright 1953. There was no Dana Point on the map we had. And remember, there was no internet then either. We just had encyclopedias.
Yes, and the library.
From the information Patty had given me, I figured out we would be located somewhere between Los Angeles and San Diego. And I can turn on my Michigan accent.
Do it. I think you should do it for a couple sentences.
My Aunt Fran in Toledo remarked, "You know, my sister-in-law lives out there in California. You ought to look her up when you girls get there." If we had time, we would. I began to wonder where this Aunt Mary lived. Aunt Mary lived in Dana Point.
Yeah.
So I believe the universe was sending me to Dana Point.
100%.
I know it.
Yes.
And I'm getting goosebumpy all the time. Not a bad place to land spontaneously, sight unseen.
Exactly. It's beautiful.
I'm a kind of fly by the seat of my pants person sometimes. So
your three jobs.
Okay, so I got
Dana Point.
All right, well, what happened was we had to take the CBEST test so we could be substitute teachers. Mm-hmm. So that was the first order of business. As soon as I passed the CBEST, this is so funny, I got hired right away, middle of the year, to be a drafting substitute teacher at Capistrano Valley High School, as well as Dana Hills High School.
Oh, wow.
Remember, I'm all of 23 years old, but I look like I'm about 16.
Okay.
So I get hired to teach freshman boys.
Uh-oh.
It was sort of a disaster, and I apologize to the administration. Anyway, I didn't know what I was doing, but I was happy to have a job. Well, that was only from first period, which was around 7 mm-hmm. in the morning, till first period. And then second period, I think I covered a study hall.
Okay.
Then I would go swim at the Y on Crown Valley Parkway.
Nice. Yeah.
I'd swim a mile a day. Then I'd end the day at Dana Hills because it was a split job,
mm-hmm.
teaching drafting to freshmen and boys by the auto shop they used to have there. So this was like 1983. Then I would go to my second job, which was, it's now called Child Time. It was Gerber Children's Center on Crown Valley Parkway.
Okay.
Is a preschool. And I was Miss Sue, and I would work 3 to close, 3 to 6. Then I would leave there and drive to Bobby McGee's in Mission Viejo by Saddleback College. It's now, I think, a Lexus dealer.
Okay, yes.
Or something. Bobby McGee's was a bar, restaurant, where people dressed up in costumes.
Oh.
And I
what
was...
What kind of costumes?
Cowboys, cowgirls.
Okay, so it was like a saloon
flappers.
Vibe.
Okay. Yeah. And MASH, the TV show, was just ending. And one night we all gathered around the TV to watch the... I wanted to be one of the characters, but they put, I was a cashier. So I would get up in the morning and go to Kappa Valley High School from 7 to like noon, go swim a mile, go to Dana Hills, finish the day, go to the Child Time. I ended up making a crap ton of money.
Yeah, with
three jobs.
Three jobs.
Because I wanted money.
Of course.
Because I didn't like my car.
Okay.
Car.
What was your car at the time?
It was called a Michigan accent coming, Pontiac Phoenix. You know, a phoenix is the bird that's on fire because it is a piece of shit. So I wanted to get rid of that car. And my parents bought it for me for college graduation. I really don't like that accent. I apologize to anybody from Michigan for what I just said. And so I didn't like that car. It was awful. And so I traded it in for a Honda Civic.
Okay.
Which was lovely. It was champagne. So I wanted money so I could buy a nice car, stick shift in those days. But then I would substitute teach. So I got called into the office after about 3 months at Dana Hills, and the principal, Dennis Flynn, said, what's your degree? I go, art education. He goes, you can't work here anymore. You're not really supposed to be working. You need a California teaching credential.
Oops. And they figured that out mid-job.
They just needed someone to watch those kids.
Yeah.
It was not that pleasant. So what I did is I went to UCI, and I enrolled in nighttime classes so I could sub during the day and work. And I got my California multiple subject kindergarten to 12th grade teaching credential because I was sad to find out they don't have art rooms here like we had where I grew up. So there are a lot of pluses about Michigan, Ann Arbor specifically. There's an art room for kindergarten to sixth grade with one art teacher. So the teachers, the classroom teachers, would just drop the kids off, and this art specialist would be the teacher. And that's what I wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't have that. So when I went to UCI, my advisor told me to get a multiple subject credential because I was never going to get married. I didn't really want to do that. So I thought I have to be self-sufficient. Mm-hmm. So I better be marketable.
Yeah.
And so that's what I did.
Awesome. So you are married now. And you thought you would never get married.
True.
How old were you when you got married?
36.
Okay. Awesome. And you just found, you found the one?
It was time.
Yeah.
It was time. But wait. Orange County.
Yes.
I must talk about this because this is what the memoir... I want to have this memoir over there on the shelf with all the...
I would love that. In the marketplace.
Yeah. I want it over there.
What is the name of your memoir?
It's currently untitled.
Ooh.
It's just simply a memoir.
A memoir of Susie
it's,
Mer Harris.
Oh, wait, no, it's called Turning 60, A Little Memoir by Sue. I wrote it just for my book club, and I read it to them, and they said, this is really good. You have a voice. So I wrote part two recently.
Ooh.
Okay, so what the memoir actually, since you mentioned it, the songs. And today, in preparation for this teacher, you know, lesson plan,
I brought a whole lesson plan.
Yes,
I
did. Songs which beautifully demonstrate the 60s and 70s, California dreamin' ideals, the hippie vibe, obviously California dreamin'. Because when you're in a cold, dark place for most of the year, and by most of the year, I mean I mean 9 months.
Yeah.
Where it sucks.
Mm-hmm.
It sucks. My birthday is April 30th. We often had frost and snow at Easter time, and I would just hope by my birthday the weather would get nice.
Yeah.
So, number one, obviously, especially California Dreaming, all the leaves are brown and the sky is gray. Those lyrics are so important.
Yes.
And so phenomenal. And for my money, the very best music ever written was and recorded and performed between the 60s and the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anything can come close to the, especially the Led Zeppelin Going to California with an aching in my heart. Like Robert Plant with his long hair and his shirt unbuttoned. Okay. With love in her eyes and flowers in her hair. Mm-hmm. You know, just listening to Led Zeppelin. The Monkees, the diversity
mm-hmm.
of the music. I really want to be a DJ. Monkees, another Pleasant Valley Sunday. Rows of houses that are all the same and no one seems to care. Just charcoal burning in the air.
Hardee's.
Hardee's, call mm-hmm. back yep. to the Hardee's. I'd be safe and warm. You can chime in if you want. If I was in LA.
If I was in LA.
California Dreaming. And then if you're going to San Francisco, be sure to wear flowers in your hair. Scott McKenzie had a hit. Ladies of the Canyon, Joni Mitchell. Colors up the Sunshine House, pouring music down the canyon. Frank Zappa, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, The Byrds. So you want to be a rock and roll star? Yes, I do. All of this music and any Beach Boys song. The girls all get so tan. I wish they all could be California girls. That's all I wanted to be from as long as I can remember is have long blonde hair,
mm-hmm.
not too much sun. And I'm, okay, let me just say I'm grateful that I didn't suffer a lot of sun damage because we didn't know.
Right.
Growing up in the 60s, the terrible damage
mm-hmm.
that the sun can do. And I look at Mad Men now. I'm starting to watch that. I never saw it when it was on in real time
because
I was too damn tired from working all day.
Right.
So I'm watching it on Netflix and I keep taking my device out to find out, did that really happen that way? And oh, that's right, that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a part of a Vietnam War protest, as a matter of fact, and memories just started flooding of hell no, we won't go. And I was shocked that people would say hell. My father was very much opposed to the Vietnam War,
mm-hmm.
and he did get a PhD, and I always respected his opinion on political things. I know he was informed.
Mm-hmm.
And as a little girl, from as long as I can remember, Paige, I remember being a hippie. But I didn't know that's what it was. And everything, including I stopped eating animals when I was a little girl because I didn't think that was okay.
Mm-hmm.
And my understanding was rather limited of why. It was simply my heart broke to think of that I was eating an animal. So at the ripe old age of maybe 10, I just stopped fish, chicken.
Wow.
We had a pig on our farm. We had a farm and it didn't make sense to me that people should be eating dead animals.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm a vegan.
Yeah.
And I feel really good. I think I look good for my age.
Yes, you look amazing.
A lot of it is I wasn't in the sun for 9 months.
Right. Out of the year growing up.
And, and I have pink in my hair, too. But just the hippies. I think the hippies' sensibilities and the hippie mentality to this day is the way to go. Peace and love and no war and make love, not war. And, you know, melt all the guns and let's have communal, let's have farms
mm-hmm.
and let's grow our own food. And now I'm really going off on a story that really isn't part of the memoir yet. I don't believe in some of the things that many people were meant to believe, that the medical industry, which it is, as mm-hmm. we're starting to be aware of Big Pharma and how Rockefeller started that, and just now, and the whole idea of recycling and give a hoot, don't pollute, and
yep.
you know, how we need to get back to the garden. And, mm-hmm. you know, Woodstock just had their 50-year,
yes.
oh my gosh. I watch the Woodstock thing and I'm thinking we all need to come together with love and share our food and be in community. And there was a time when I thought living on a commune
mm-hmm.
would be really good, but then it seemed that by the time I was ready, the communes had be kind of scattered.
And, okay.
Because the 60s, you know, I was only 10
yeah.
in 1970, so.
So growing up in Michigan with those, I'm going to call them like counterculture ideals at the time, how were those accepted or not in Michigan amongst your peers? And then when you moved to California, did that change at all?
I believe we find our tribe.
Uh-huh.
So I found like-minded individuals who didn't seem to mind that I ran around in bare feet at the art museum.
Yeah.
And I found people who shared the whole like concept of free love and expression and mm-hmm. music and art as being healing and things like that. And so I would just find my tribe.
Yeah.
I got off the path a little bit for a while, but that's another story for another time. And I will say my favorite time in life, in culture, happened from 1960 probably to 1970. It's just amazing how the changes, and you've come a long way, baby,
mm-hmm.
and women can work, and
yeah.
you don't have to stay in a bad marriage, and you don't have to do what society tells you, and you can mm-hmm. have a career, and you can be assertive. And my mother was lovely. She's passed away. Lovely, sweet, good Lutheran,
mm-hmm.
Instilled in us a Protestant work ethic, and we all had chores, and we never had cable TV. Ever. I left college and we never had cable
wow.
TV because that was expensive
mm-hmm.
and unnecessary. And you could kind of get three channels
yeah.
if you had an antenna. And I remember our first color TV set. Like so many mind-blowing, phenomenal things happened in a relatively short decade.
Yeah.
And I've watched some of the documentaries, the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, and I find the 80s and 90s to be kind of boring, except for Nirvana. Dave Grohl, my boyfriend.
Yes.
Okay, this is funny. I'm going to go off on it.
Yeah.
The last time I gave an interview in a trailer was in Amsterdam, and it was about my sexual fantasies.
Of Dave Grohl.
Amsterdam, my favorite city in Europe. Yeah.
And I feel like Amsterdam is the San Francisco of Europe.
It's very free.
Yeah.
And lovely.
Mm-hmm.
I love San Francisco. I just don't like cold weather.
Yeah.
Or chilly. Or
yeah.
damp.
I get that.
So.
Love it. Well, we only have 6 minutes left, unfortunately, in our interview. Did you want to read one little final excerpt from your memoir?
I would love to do that. I would say, kind of going back to the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Because I already read the end.
Yes.
So the reason I enjoy talking and telling stories, and the reason I wrote a little memoir is I think it's an interesting story because not every person, specifically, I wrote down exactly what I wanted to say. In my book club, and then I'll just go back to the beginning. In my book club, we women read I can just remember what I was going to say. Shuffling papers, excuse the noise. We read a book where the main character had given up everything to move to a place. And the conversation at book club, a dozen women, all married, was, would you ever give up everything to move to a place? 11 women said, absolutely not. No. I was the lone person saying, I gave up my love of my life, my boyfriend, I actually had two, but anyway, my parents, I left. My father apparently didn't go to work. I heard the day I left, he cried, his youngest child, you know, empty nest, which I'm now kind of getting when my son went off to college. Like, and then my mom, who's adorable, you know, left my mom, my grandma, grandpa, cousins, aunts, sister, brother, brother's girlfriend. I left everything and everyone I ever knew. And I did move out here with just a best friend, but still, I left and went thousands of miles away to start my life fresh by myself as a single woman. And apparently I've been told, well, that's kind of brave. And it was like, no question. At 5 years old, it's like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
So here's the very beginning and why. There are thousands of middle-aged people who may become nostalgic for or remember earlier years and past relationships with a sense of wonder and amazement that so much time has passed and think, how did I get here so fast? A flood of memories return when listening to what are now called classic rock radio stations. Memories are what have inspired me to write, and this is simply my little story, not meant to do anything but entertain the reader.
Love it.
So that was it, and just the very first thing again. I remember hearing the Beach Boys on the radio singing about California girls as the snow covered the ground at our house in freezing cold Michigan. The idea of sunshine, palm trees, and a French bikini sounded very attractive and wildly exotic to me, as I had only ever known the state of Michigan.
Well, I think you've achieved your goal. You are a California girl, and French bikinis are back in style. So you've achieved it. You've lived here longer than you have in Michigan.
Truth.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for sharing your story with me.
Thank you for having me.
It's been a lot of fun.
It has.
Signing off.
Bye.